Well, Google CEO Sundar Pichai says his company is listening to the thousands of Google employees around the world who staged a walkout yesterday in protest of the way the company handled accusations of sexual misconduct against top executives. Pichai addressed the walkouts as they were happening at a New York Times conference yesterday.
This anger and frustration within the company, we all feel it. I feel it too. At Google, we set a very, very high bar, and we clearly didn't live up to our expectations, which is why we felt it was important to express our support for the employees today.
So how is social media responding? Femi Okeh, host of The Stream on Al Jazeera English, keeps an eye on that for us. Hi, Femi.
Hello there, Robin.
And we spoke to you last week about Google paying these huge severance deals to these top executives who'd been accused of sexual misconduct, which, you know, sparked a lot of this anger. So how are people now buying the claim that the company's in solidarity with employees?
They have a list of demands. The whole orchestration of the Google walkout was done by employees across the world. So one after another, chasing the time zones around the world, were coming out protesting and being very clear about what they wanted. They want a commitment to end pay and opportunity inequity. They want a sexual harassment transparency report. They want a clear, uniform, globally inclusive process for reporting sexual misconduct. And also the chief diversity officer, they want them to report directly to the CEO. List of demands here, and the sentiments from within the culture of Google, from the staff who've been out and complaining and rallying and protesting. One sentiment was, well, I'm happy to quit for $90 million. Mm-hmm. And another employee, Jennifer Brown, says that she reported sexual harassment and the person who she said harassed her was promoted. And then how is Google CEO responding? He says, well, we don't run the company by referendum.
Oh, okay. Well, is there a sense that they will, though, respond to any of these demands?
It's a pretty dramatic show of we are not happy with our culture. And there's a really beautiful way that Fernando Salcedo sums it up. When they remove the don't be evil clause from Google, it gave us every reason to stand up and fight back. Time's up.
Oh, okay. And Google's been going through, it's had some other real bumps just recently. We want to say that a lot of Google workers who were conservative felt that a lot of their conservative opinions weren't being listened to at the company. So, a lot of internal strife there right now.
Internal strife that is now very public.
Yeah. Staying with Silicon Valley, let's go to Facebook. The white supremacist group Proud Boys, the latest organization to be banned from this social media platform. They'd already been banned from Twitter. And some people are calling for, what is it, a ban wave? What are you hearing?
Well, I'm actually hearing from supporters of Proud Boys. And John on Twitter says, the Proud Boys are not an extremist organization. Gavin McInnes, who founded them, is not an alt-right extremist. Social media organizations are silencing conservative voices. Again, along the same theme, other supporters are saying, we are banned a week from the midterms. Enjoy your uncontested, unfounded elections. And then there's also pushback, of course, coming back from this. And people are saying that Gavin McInnes, if he's a white supremacist, he doesn't look particularly supreme as far as they're concerned. And people are sharing videos of Gavin McInnes who's speaking and saying, listen to this man, listen to his words. He shouldn't be on social media. The complaint, as always, when these groups are pushed off Facebook and social platforms, Robin, is that they should be allowed free speech. But all of these social platforms have rules and regulations about hate speech, and now they are taking them very seriously.
Well, it's complicated because people will also worry that if you remove them from Facebook, then you don't get to see what they're saying.
And where,
as heinous
where are they
as it
going?
Is. Yeah, they'll go somewhere more underground. All right, we'll leave that there. But we want to hear about this, something you found about a YouTube scientist who thought he could live in this tiny, airtight biodome filled with plants. I guess his thinking was they were going to create the oxygen for 3 days. And
yes.
Here is a clip of him emerging after 15 hours.
Oh.
How's that first breath
of fresh
air? That
feels really good. Air is wonderful. Feels really good to have fresh, clean air in my lungs. Yeah. That's the main thing.
Okay, so that did, well, it didn't work on the one level, but it did work on another. I mean, what was his goal? This is Curtis Bout.
The idea was to get people to understand climate change, what is happening, what happens when we create too much CO2. He put himself in basically a big plastic tent with 200 plants, thinking that they would photosynthesize and then he would have enough oxygen to exist for 3 days. And then he sort of panicked as the CO2 levels went up and he exited in just 15 hours. That may well be the perfect meme for what is happening to our planet right now.
Yeah.
Are we going to exit after 15 days? Because it's much worse than we imagined.
But we won't have a flap to get out from under.
Yeah.
By the way, he was hashtag Curtis in a jar.
It's fun to watch that hashtag. Have a look at it.
Femi Oki, thanks as always.
You're so welcome. Have a good weekend.